fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tuesday, the 13th day of September, the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. The purple tip today is to inventory and check all your flashlights, the batteries that go with them, if they're rechargeable batteries. Be sure and check the chargers. Have at least 2 chargers. You can never have too many flashlights, by the way. They're just handy as can be. We have with us Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Jeff Nyquist, his website, jrnyquist.blog. His books for sale at amazon.com. Great books, by the way. And I don't know where this music's coming from. Okay. We have music for some reason here. I don't know why it's happening. And Steve Benoon, his website's israelinewslive.org. Held over from the last hour, we got Pat in Texas. You have a question or comment, Pat?
Yeah, I can't hear the music, but I just wanted to say that this year, 22, is September 22nd. I mean, September 25th is Rosh Hashanah. And I don't know what that means because I'm not that, well, if I ever knew, I forgot. But it seems to me, or I can get out of it, that it is a when the Jews blew the trumpet, whatever they call it, shofar. They blew it because they wanted to remember that God took them out of Egypt, and God gave them a second chance after the earth was flooded, and he gave mankind another chance, and forgot the third thing. But I'm thinking it has something to do with the money this year, and they're going to try to scare everybody to death about the money. Maybe saying that you're going to have digital. Well, it was supposed to be May 13 before you had to turn in your old money for your digital money, but they moved it up to May something 31st. They moved it up to December the 13th. Well, you know, they always do the worst things around Christmas because that's when everybody's getting ready for you. They're remembering Christ's birth, which he never did say do. He said remembering death. And you know, they've done so many wicked things at Christmas, and I'm kind of worried about it. Anybody, okay. Anybody can answer, but Steve DeNoon's Jewish, so he should know the most.
Okay, do you have a question for Steve?
Well, that was a question. Am I wrong to
what
start
is the question,
worrying?
Pat?
I was wondering if I was wrong to worry about the money this year they really plan on having.
Steve can't tell you if you're wrong to worry about something. What's your question, Pat?
Okay, forget it.
I think she's wanting to know if the collapse is coming, John, is what it is.
Okay, well, you can interpret her better than me. Do you have a response for Pat there, Steve?
Yeah, Pat, what I would say is, because everybody is concerned about a collapse coming, and the answer I keep getting over and over and over until the issue came up with the Vatican is that they do need a collapse. They want a collapse to bring about a new world order, but the people that I know in Washington feel like that they're not quite ready for it. And what they would do is, in order to get the collapse to have a face value, would bring about either a nuclear strike somewhere on our nation. That could be by a dirty bomb or by a weapon by Russia, China, whatever the case may be there. Or that a meteorite strike, which they anticipate in the near future, but I don't think anything catastrophic. But I guess it'd be enough to take out a city like a nuclear weapon is what they're thinking of. Now, with that being said, when the Vatican said that all their funds are to be brought back by September 30th, I again asked the question, and of course that became more alarming because they know they're preparing for, the economist had told me, for widespread insolvencies. And he said that when an institution becomes insolvent, he said, think of a bank. Bank runs during the Depression. It is generally followed by the fund's assets being frozen, which the institution is currently managing. So those entities would do what's called a flight to safety into currencies, economies that they view as less risky, relative where they believe the risks are present. I believe the paper you used we won't go into that part there of what he was saying, but. So the point comes to is that there is expectations now, even from people that I know, after the Vatican made this move, that this could be speeding up. And it may have a lot to do with what we're seeing happening in Ukraine. So with Russia making some of the decisions they've made that has cost major losses, and the United States getting more actively involved, that could cause Russia to react with a nuclear weapon on this country somewhere. And again, you have to remember, Putin plays both sides of this too. He's not a knight in shining armor. Although the people of Donetsk and Luhansk would beg to differ with me on that issue because they want their independence. But at the same token, he may say out of one side of his mouth he's against the New World Order and he's against the IMF, etc., but he's still controlled by the Chabad organization. And so, therefore, he is playing his part to the T. And so I would suspect that could be that we're just advancing a little bit more rapidly. But to answer your question in short on that part, it's not supposed to happen this year. The infrastructure for everything is not quite ready, but I think we might start seeing the collapse of the dollar this year, which was supposed to happen anyway, but we'll just see what happens as we get closer.
Real good. That's a good response, Pat. Thank you for your call. Let's go on to Laura in Michigan. Good morning, Laura.
Hello, Steve. I want to ask you a favor. I don't know if you remember last time you were on. Nyquist was bullying me to name any reporters that our country had killed. And you named off, I don't know, you rattled them off pretty fast. That list, do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I want to ask you, could you email that list to our BN website? Because there's a couple of hosts that I want to see that list.
Yeah, I can. What I'll do is I can forward it to John, and then that way there, you know, we can go over to the different journalists, the list of journalists that have been killed. Some of them suspiciously, and some of them, you know, they you know, they know they got shot, things like that. But yeah, we do have quite an extensive list of journalists that have not made it. And sometimes they're not, even though they're Americans, they're taken out abroad.
Right. And we tell people they don't believe you, you know, because I didn't really recognize the names myself. So.
Right. And the reason for me that I know this a little bit more intimately is because I worked with the government on a level to where things, very shady things, were happening. And I know of 8 cases personally, but they weren't journalists in this particular case that I dealt with. But it doesn't matter, journalist or not. In fact, I do know of one journalist that came very close to being taken out, and that was Linda Moulton Howe. And in fact, recently she was targeted with what they call an energy weapon. That was confirmed to me, and I know that they're trying to find out who was behind it and what part of our government is behind it. And that's because of her disclosure of the alien involvement, things like that. They thought about it years ago, of doing it, taking her out, but they backed off because they felt like it would be much more difficult, because she was very well known. And they felt like that the backlash would not be worth it. So instead, they tried to feed her information that would take her down a wrong road. She's a little bit clever, though, so she didn't fall for that. Some things, yes, but not everything. But more recently, though, one of the agencies have stepped up the attack again. And in fact, when she, I hope I'm not being too long, John, just let me know, stop me if needed.
Go ahead.
But Linda had released some photographs that she sat on for about a year. And I saw those before she released them. And they were confirmed to be real. These were of gray aliens that had been, they have like a skin suit that they wear. They weren't wearing this one here during, I don't know if it was an autopsy or afterwards. But once she went public with that, what she did not realize was, and I also knew this for a fact as well, CIA had already knew that she had the photos. They knew that she was going to release them. So they had worked a campaign with an artist out of South America, I believe where he was from. They had contracted him to actually do the artwork of these aliens and then to post it as a way to debunk when she would go public that she was actually using his artwork instead. It is a CIA operation to debunk any credibility that she may have. And I know that for a fact, too.
Okay, Laura, anything else?
Well, I was just going to ask. The reason, they act like Ukraine is beating Russia. But don't forget, Russia's been fighting the whole darn world. All the NATO, all the countries that put military in there. I heard there's tons of mercenaries in Ukraine. Now, is Russia going to declare war against NATO soon?
I don't know if how that's going to play out, but keep in mind, Russia is not alone. Russia also has China in their back pocket. China, and I know this from intel reports that I've been in as well, China has already let Russia know, if you go to war with the United States, we have you 100%, you're back. China has moved in massive amounts of troops into Canada. We're very well aware of it. The only thing that China, the reason why they haven't launched an attack on us as of yet, two reasons. One, they haven't built up their forces on our southern border, which is something they've been wanting to do and they've been working on, but it's still very difficult for them to pull that off. Whereas Justin Trudeau just invited them on in, and that's how they got into Canada. Secondly, they also are hoping that Biden, through the situation of civil unrest, nearing 2024, basically in 2023, that it will give him a justification to bring in Chinese peacekeepers, which John's talked about quite a bit on this broadcast, as a way to also have troops already on the ground inside the country, because it's a big endeavor. Russia already has the Poseidon, which is the nuclear drone subs patrolling both our coastlines that are fully armed, nuclear capable at any given time to launch attacks. And they use the hypersonic type of weapons on those subs. So, and then they've got Iran, and Iran has been given the technology from China of the cloaking device, which they can launch a missile against us and nothing we have can stop it because we can't detect it. We have the same technology. Which is basically from, what is it, 1943, when they could make the ship disappear and reappear in another place. This exact same technology. We never stopped the project. We continued to develop it and made it finally work properly. So they have that technology, and they use that against us over in Saudi Arabia. They've used it against Israel to prove their point. So even though they're a small country, and this is one reason why that they're preparing a strike on Iran anyway. But, you know, and like I say, I'm more neutral in this whole stance there. But when I look at everything that's happening, it's all a global play and everybody's got their parts. Because even though we see all the conflict between us and Russia, behind the scenes in the secret space program, we're like best friends. So that's when you know it's a charade.
Okay. Laura, some good questions. We appreciate your call. Thank you very much. Call number is 512-248-8252. Steve, your briefings take place at least on a weekly basis, don't they, sir?
Yes, I normally have to meet weekly. We haven't met this past week. We did not meet, though. Just there was some other things going on at the time, so we're unable to meet there. But yes, I continue to do research on ancient documents, and so normally that's what our briefings are about, and then I get into the other issues as well while we're doing that.
Well, my conclusion about archaeology, which is you're certainly involved in that by definition, is that archaeology has two jobs. One is to recover ancient technology. The other is to keep us from finding out about it. Would that be accurate, sir?
That's exactly accurate. In fact, the whole issue when Iran came up, and this is one thing I want to ask in the next meeting I am in, is that I know for a fact from the Israeli side that we are going to back Israel in a strike on Iran if they don't, quote-unquote, get an acceptable deal over this nuclear issue with Iran. And so we are going to back them. We've already been preparing. We've been giving them what they need. So my question was, is what does Iran have that we want in archaeology? And they did uncover a tomb. And normally when you see it in the public media, it was uncovered a good while back. But there is some type of tomb that is extremely old. And from what I gather, it's going to have some very special interest for the United States. And so, yes, we will do what we can. Just to give you a case in point, in China, they had a particular cave that was discovered there that we found out about it before the Chinese government did. And we sent in the Navy SEALs, went in there and stole the artifacts and got them out before the Chinese could find out about it. So, and then, of course, one of the locals there ended up telling the Chinese that the United States came in and stole the artifacts, so they put up a big fuss, and we gave part of it back, but China will never know that they didn't get everything back. So, but yes, it is about the artifacts.
Well, they know now.
Yeah.
You just announced it.
Yes, they know now.
It would be foolish to think that People's Liberation Army does not monitor the John Moore Show. In fact, I know we got listeners in the intelligence section of North Korea as well. We have a break. We're going to call her and hold. We'll be right back. Right.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait, Ellis, you take the left wing, I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir!
All right, we're back. That audio clip was from the film Gettysburg, by the way. Somewhat authentic as to what really took place at the Battle of Little Round Top. This hour is sponsored by Liberator Rocket Heaters. I am the Executive Vice President of the company. When you place your order for your Liberator Rocket Heater, I personally take care of it and make sure that it's properly and quickly taken care of. This is Tuesday Morning Roundtable. We have Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Steve Ben-Noon. His website is reallynewslive.org. We have Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at Amazon. And, gentlemen, our next caller is Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie.
Hello, John. Hello, panel there, Steve and Jeff. Anyway, I'm just calling because I wanted to clear up a few things here I've heard that I think might be mistaken. And I just wanted to kind of, like, add a little input into it. The areas, first of all, we know that the Ukraine has been carrying on a second front, second attack onto the areas, okay? And they've been, the way they've been doing this is they've been attacking in the Donbass area and they've been down in the Kharkov area, which both have been under attack. And the way they've been doing this is that they've been able to ferry troops and equipment back and forth between these two areas by rail. Okay? And so when Russia attacked the power plants, okay, they also were taking out railroad areas to, and they're preventing them from being able to ferry those troops back and forth and the equipment back and forth between the two areas for their offensives. And so what Russia's done is they've basically cut them off from being able to travel back and forth between these two areas. And they're continuing these attacks on the railroads, by the way. This wasn't just a one-hit thing. They're still hitting them. As of last night, they're still hitting these areas, the electrical stations and the railroads. So now, as to the issue of them leaving and going down to the Kharkov area, those troops down there, by the way, were not Russian troops that were trapped. Okay, this is another kind of a false report. They were the Donbass region military. They were generally older men in their 60s, 50s, and 60s who were basically just guards, who were guarding at the, you know, in front of the cities and reporting on things. Well, that's in the Bakhmut area, I believe. It's in the south there, towards the Kharkov area. But anyway, they were taken over. And since they were taken, the Ukrainians had been purging the civilians, demanding that they turn in these troops. And many of them have surrendered, these older men, because they're scared. And yes, so this is happening. And they have been asked, and if they've been asking to, you know, for help or to turn over, it's because they're afraid. But these were not Russian troops. They were the Donbass region troops. And so it isn't really a great victory for, you know, the Ukrainians. And it certainly isn't going to hurt Russia. But in the meantime, Russia has cut off the area in the Donbass area to prevent the travel back and forth between these two areas. And they are moving down into the Kharkov area with crack troops as we speak, to go in there and to liberate those areas that the Ukrainians have taken, and to rescue those men down there. So this is what's basically happening.
Okay.
Okay? Yeah.
Well, thank you for your comments, sir, Charlie. We appreciate that. To our next call. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Charlie. Our next caller is Thomas in Germany. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Mr. Benoon. I know we are soon the bottom of the hour break. Mr. Benoon, I have an archaeological question on the topic of Tartaria. Here in Germany, Austria, and Switzerland, the topic of mud floods within the last 200 years and the disassembly of electrical installations at European monuments like churches and palaces have sparked intensive interest within the Telegram crowd. They never found a further step in explaining what happened to cause cities to be empty and buildings to be sunk in mud for numerous feet. I would appreciate if you could an elaboration on the topic of Tartaria and what I just said, these phenomenons of empty cities. I'll be happy to wait.
Okay, we have a break. We'll be right back.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Russian sanctions may be backfiring. I'm Peter Serafin, and this is today's Liberty Minute. The U.S. and much of Europe put heavy sanctions on Russian energy over the Ukrainian situation. These sanctions have had an effect, but maybe not the intended one. Much of Europe is warning of serious energy shortages in the coming winter. Some countries are putting caps on use and subsidizing costs. Yesterday, Putin announced he was closing off the tap. No more energy exports until the sanctions are lifted. So who's really being hurt by these sanctions, Russia or European allies? If only there was another large country with vast natural gas and oil resources that could help our allies and prevent them from freezing. If only there was an energy independent nation with free markets which could guarantee the energy security of European families. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is J.R. Moore on Tuesday, the 13th of September, the Tuesday Morning Roundtable. And my website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. You can spend many, many hours at my website. There's some fun things there. It's not all that serious. We have a reference, we scroll down far enough, to more than 30 TV shows and movies that have had for decades, going back to the 1950s, images of North America with different coastlines, different than they are normally. Sometimes a little different, sometimes radically different. Sometimes movies that were had massive audiences like Superman, others that are pretty obscure TV shows from the 1950s. Fun stuff. And of course, products that will help you. If you have issues with sleep, you need an energy cleaner. If you have arthritis, pain issues, you also need an energy cleaner. Check out the details at my website. And, of course, winter is nigh upon us. It will be winter before you know it. You want to be warm, be cozy, and save money. Check out the Liberator Rocket Heaters at thelibertyman.com. We have Liberator Rocket Heaters in stock, ready for immediate shipment. We have with us this morning Leon Green, former U.S. Navy officer. We have Stephen Noon. His website is IsraeliNewsLive.org. And, of course, Jeff Nyquist. His website is JRNyquist.blog. His book's for sale at Amazon. And Thomas from Germany, you've got a question, sir. Go ahead.
I just the question before the break. It was about Tartaria, and I said that there was tremendous interest in the German speaking Telegram crowd, and I was just wondering if you could comment on that and mud floods and cities being empty about 100 to 150 years ago.
Actually, I don't, but I have made a note about it, seeing that you brought this up, so that I could see if I could find out some more information. So next week, if we can, if you can bring that question back up again, then I should have a better answer on that.
Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You're very
all right. John, thanks for the call, Tom. Go ahead,
John, Steve. Hey, Steve, I watched your video on your Steve Bannon, I watched one of the videos. You talked about the VP actually becoming the president. Do you have any further comment on that? I couldn't find anything else on it.
Yes. I'd actually, what happened on that there, and I did a subsequent video afterwards, I'd got a text in from a friend of mine that was down in Houston. And in the text, he had sent a picture of the vice president speaking there in Houston. I was actually supposed to be at that meeting, in fact. But what happened is he had cut off the way he took the picture, the VP part was cut off. And we were already sitting on pins and needles about her taking Biden's place because he had gotten COVID. It was going back and forth. They had already been briefing her to become president, and everybody was nervous over the fact. And so when he sent that to me, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. She's speaking as the president of the United States at the Houston thing. Well, I didn't realize that his photo that he took of the image there was actually cut off the VP part of it. Wasn't anything he did intentionally. But that's where I jumped the gun on putting that out there. But I will say this, though. It is very important, though, what he was trying to convey to me, because he also sent me another message. He said, this is exactly what I was telling you about, that there the movement of bringing about civil unrest and the gaining of power in this nation by the African-American community is growing, and this was part of it. That's why she was speaking at the Baptist convention there. And I hate even saying it like that because it almost sounds racist to say it, and I don't imply that at all when I say that. I think anybody that's qualified for running for office, regardless of their color, has a right to do so, because that's what we need, people that have the ability to do a good job. But what the issue is here, and in fact, the person that has revealed this information to me, that the civil war that will happen in this country will take place as a result of if Trump runs again for president. That it's gone to that level, that it will come down to a civil war, and it's mainly because the there are a lot of people, and these are the leaders now. I don't say this is the African American community as a whole. It's just there are leaders in the community there that feels so passionately that it would be a grave mistake for him to run again, that they have openly spoke that they're willing to fight if that's what it takes. And at the same time, there are political moves being made in the background to make sure more power, more key people are put into key positions of power. And so there are people in Washington, and this is actually both Democrat and Republican side, that are very fearful of this coming, and I was told this is why Biden had actually was not doing anything about the Mexican or the people from the southern side of the border, the Mexican or the Latino community coming into the United States, because they figure that's going to offset any type of civil unrest. But in reality, what it's doing is, I think Biden is creating more of a volatile situation so he can justify bringing in Chinese troops. But basically, going back to the gist of the question was I had just I jumped the gun on that, and I regretted that. I wish I'd have waited. But the information, though, is still very important of why she was there and what the what this is actually going to lead to down the road. And it appears to me that she is going to be the one that runs for president on the Democratic ticket in 2024, because I know that there's supposed to be a black lady that's supposed to be president next. So I'm wondering if that's, you know, I thought it was going to be somebody different, but it could be that it is going to be Kamala. Who knows?
Okay, but I think with her terrible rating of 28% in the polls, I can't imagine them pushing her, and even the response with Biden. I mean, I think she's going to have so much guilt by association that there are many more competent women and men out there than what we have right now. I can imagine them, regardless of age.
Stacey Abrams was who I suspected. They wouldn't tell me who it was. They just said that the person that would run and that's supposed to win it is supposed to be a very, very educated black woman, and that she would grow in notoriety over the next 4 years. And so as I looked at the different possible candidates, Stacey Abrams came to my mind. And of course, Stacey is, she's got 3 different degrees. She is very intelligent. And I know that they have been trying to pump her up, but I don't know if she's going to reach to that degree. Now, there is a lady, and I don't know if she was running for either Senate or Congress out of Atlanta, but she's Republican. And I actually met her in Atlanta just recently. And but I forget her name. I can't think of her name right off the top of my head. But she would have made a very, very brilliant woman. And I'd wondered, too, about her coming into power. But I don't know. I would think it's the Democratic side. But I could be wrong on that. I'm not sure.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else, Thomas? Looks like Thomas is gone. All right. Well, as usual, we're covering a lot of territory here.
John, can we go back on the caller before Thomas? He had mentioned about the correcting some of the things on the troops, etc. And I know that Russell he fought actively until 2015 with the Donbass military that they have there. The way he worded it, And so the caller could be right, but I want to just put the way he worded it, and I did send a message to him to try to get some clarification. He said, there is a major UKROP army buildup west of Avdiivka. Russia had assembled a new, now that's what he put, a new 15,000-man Third Corps to defend the Donbass line, but the idiots have sent it to Kharkov, a double you-know-what-up. I won't say the word he said there. He said, my wife and I will stay and deal with what comes. We have very little money, but a month's more worth of food and supplies stored up. Don't need to go into all that. But basically he's saying that they're going to stand their ground no matter what. But he is concerned that because of the movement of troops there, that's going to put them in a very awkward position. He did say that... he said, they'll die fighting pretty soon. He said, I've trusted and respected him. He's talking about Putin for 8 years. He said, I've been here in spite of more than a few titanic, ups from our Russian saviors. If Russia allows the UKROP Nazi to get even a foothold in Donetsk, Donbass will fall, and so will Russia. And now, I agree, though, with the caller when he said that I wasn't given specifics other than utilities, Russell did say that they were striking all types of infrastructure, and that was even going on last night. So when he said that they were hitting the supply lines, it seems in that case there, Russia is trying to, even though they did move that 15,000-man army out of there, maybe they're trying to break the supply line and stuff so that it'll make them a little bit more apprehensive on launching a strike on Donetsk.
Okay. All right. And we do have open lines. We may have time for one more call. We're going to take calls up to the last break, and then we will take no more calls after that so that our 3 panel members can give their weekly summaries. I always look forward to that. Steve, getting back to archaeology, it's fairly common knowledge within archaeology that nuclear devices were set off on this planet 12,000 years ago, isn't it, sir?
Absolutely. And, you know, they normally what they do is after you've had some type of catastrophic event, they erase the history so that people don't really know what things were like then, the technology that we had then, things like that. But yes, nuclear weapons have been around for a long, long time.
I recently read one book, and I'll probably read more of his books. Mauro Biolino is how he pronounces his name, a world-class ancient ancient manuscript translator, including Bible. And he has a very unique thought. He says, let's pretend that the Old Testament means exactly what it says. And when you look at the Old Testament from that point of view, it changes everything. Are you familiar with Mr. Biolino?
I'm not familiar with him, but I do this research very similar to what he probably is doing as well. And that's one of the things that caused us to go into the aspect of DNA manipulation, because there's evidence in the language, if you go back to the original language there, that what was happening in the wilderness journey is far more advanced than what people realize. There's a lot could be said on that subject right there. I will say this, though, this is really going to catch people off guard, but I'll just say it quickly. It's something that was disclosed to me recently, that the aliens that we have in captivity are fed this type of, it's almost like a gooey, the way it's described to me, a gooey type of flower substance. And it is made from a particular type of spacecraft, but it's the type of food that they eat. And there are people in our government that have said this is basically equivalent to the manna that was given to the children of Israel. And they've even suggested this is the way it was being put out 3,600 years ago. So, and there is, I will say this, as crazy as that may sound, we have evidence in the original text that, like the guy said, take it for what it really says. It's not quite what people think, and there is definitely what we would classify alien technology that's written in the Old Testament. It doesn't take away from the context of what we're trying to see as far as biblically, but at the same time, though, it does add a totally new dimension of what the people have battled down through the centuries.
I just sent you a text message here, Steve, with his name, Mauro Biolino. They don't pronounce the first I, but I just sent that to you just now. He's a consultant to the Vatican and to the top Jewish priest as well about translating these ancient documents. I think you'll be fascinated by his work. We got the last break coming up here momentarily. Leon, you've been very patient in listening. Do you have any comments on what you've been hearing, sir?
No, but one thing I noticed none of us have talked about is the potential of the railroad strike and how, you know, the 25% of all of our products move on the rail and 60% of all the grain. And so if this strike goes through and there's 7,000 trains that are shuttered, it will be a collapse of the food system alone. And so nobody's really talking about that. Mike Adams talked about it, but I'm saying, you know, we haven't brought it up yet. But I think with the, you know, with all the other distractions and the lame funeral and things of that nature, it seems like if that does go through, how much of an impact? We're talking about force majeure, and they just write off everything, saying, you know, especially if it's going to be a force majeure based on the war expanding, you know, life insurance policies, pensions, everything just goes down the toilet. And that's something that is really monumental.
Well, to say the least. And, what's the status? Are there talks taking place about a potential strike?
Oh, you know, even though they're making a lot of money, the workers, you know, they're working 60-hour weeks, and so they are really stressed, and they're like, hey, everybody else is making money, all these billionaires are making millions, and we want to get paid too. And so, you know, it's a dangerous job connecting trains, and many times deaths occur and hands are chopped off. So mistakes are made, and these people are saying, hey, just like everyone else, we want a pay raise. And of course, Union Pacific and BNSF are saying, no, you already make more than enough. We don't want to share the beans with you. So those are some of the challenges. And, you know, as much as we are saddened by the impact of the owner-operators and the truckers out in California and how they've affected them, you know, railroad strike would impact a lot
more
than
all. It would be devastating. It would be devastating. We have our last break. We'll be back with these gentlemen's summaries. Stay tuned, everybody.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on Long-Term Food Storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's one. Rad. Consistent results when used for heart problems. This product has been a godsend for my father, who suffered a heart attack about 2 years ago. He was prescribed medications for his condition, which was so serious that if he hadn't made it to the hospital in time, he would have died. But he hasn't been able to afford most of the medications. After researching alternatives, he tried Extendivite. While taking Extendivite, he has consistently lower blood pressure and experiences less angina. We are currently on our fifth bottle. I enthusiastically recommend this product, and I am grateful that it is available. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is a time for a summary of our three panelists. We'll start out with Leon Green, move next to Jeff Nyquist, and wrap it up with Steve Bindon. Yeah, gentlemen, each have about 1 minute, sir. Gentlemen, go ahead, Leon.
Okay. Yeah, if you think about it in this regard, the government has done a great job, and the media, portraying preppers as being a little off. But if our grandparents and great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents didn't prepare and store food up through the winter, then they wouldn't arrive in the spring. So preparedness has always been around, and they want you to rely on the government, and you can see the competence and lack thereof when you look at Katrina and Superstorm Sandy. And so being prepared is biblical. And it is essential, especially now, knowing what's coming down the pike. You already see the water problems with Flint, Michigan, and in Jackson, Mississippi right now as we speak. So it is not a lot of work, but it does take some planning to do these things. So now is the time to prepare. And, in the next 2 months, the potential of a huge false flag is very high because the Democrats do not want to give up their power base. And so if you know these things are coming, now is the time to do it. I would definitely say take action today. Thank you. God bless.
Well said. Thank you. Jeff, your analysis, your summary, sir.
I guess the big news for the last week is that Ukraine's offensive in the north has hurt the Russians, and the Russians are in something of a panic about it. We don't know what's going to happen. What's interesting is, of course, Russia's cut off the gas to Europe. And so the real danger is to the euro and the European economies. The dollar is stronger because of it. And we'll see how that plays out. It's going to be, as we get into winter, it's going to be a really strange thing to watch.
Absolutely. Thanks, sir. And Steve, your summary, sir.
Kind of speaking on what Jeff just said there, I might add as well, they know that the collapse is coming in Europe. They're expecting 60% of housing market to go down 60% because of that, because of the gas, but they're also expecting it to go back up after that's all lifted. So there's people going to be buying a lot of houses, especially in Germany as a result. And then also adding to what Leon said, don't forget, we're going to have higher radiation, so be thinking about growing crops more of an indoor type of thing, maybe inside of a container or something like that. That's going to get worse in the next couple.
Okay. Steve, thank you, sir. We appreciate it. Gentlemen, thank you. We appreciate it. That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy cleaner, essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give your guns. Please do a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my large, beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri. Beautiful state of Missouri that I get to live in, and the large, beautiful, productive state of Texas. And please, Lord, God bless the United States of America.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertify, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.